Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with our listeners again today. Have the opportunity to be back together and study God's Word a little bit further, a little bit deeper, study a little bit more, and grow in our faith. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you to tell others about the program, Search the Scriptures. Encourage them to tune in and listen. But we know that not everybody can tune in at the appropriate time. But we do have the option of going to our website, so tell them about that, churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, and tell them to click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. Now, it's free. It always will be free. We keep emphasizing we're not after people's wallets. We want to help people get to heaven. So when somebody signs up for our podcasting, they will automatically receive this radio program 5 days a week automatically to their smart device. But they'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching all through the week. A short Bible study every single day, only about 13 or 14 minutes, we call today's Bible class, 7 days a week. Easy to listen to, easy to follow. But they'll also receive a Sunday morning Bible class, a Wednesday night Bible class, and all of our sermons. So tell everybody you can. Take advantage of it yourself. Now, if you're in the Omaha area and you can be with us, our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin on Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. And then Sunday evening, we come back together at 6 o'clock for another period of worship and Bible study. And then on Wednesday evenings, 6:30 each Wednesday evening, midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services. We hope to meet you soon. Come check us out. We're going to continue our series of studies. The general umbrella title is Heart Troubles. And as we've emphasized, we're not talking about the physical heart within our chest. We're talking about heart problems from a spiritual perspective. And that's important for us to understand. We've covered a whole bunch of these already, and we want to cover a couple more of these. I'm sure you can come up with others on your own and say, yep, this is a problem of the heart also, or this could be. Well, but, you know, we're covering, ultimately, we're going to end up talking about 10 different heart problems having to do with our spiritual perspective on life, our spiritual lives. Now, this one, we're looking at selfishness. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or opinions of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Now, think about that particular verse of Scripture, and then think about the definition of selfishness. It is defined as being focused on your own interests, your own desires, your own needs, your own wishes as being more important while ignoring those of others. In other words, what you think is the most important thing is whatever you want. Your interests, your desires, your perceived needs, your wishes, as they're being more important, and maybe even you might say most important, well, all the time you're ignoring the desires, the interests, the needs, the wishes of other people around you. It is the idea of being self-seeking and self-centered and self-interested. And we could even throw in there egotistical and egocentric in many cases. And all of that would fit and into a general description or definition of selfishness. Selfishness. Think about parents and they're raising their little children. Their little children are 2 or 3 years old, and maybe they've got a little brother or a little sister, or maybe a little bigger brother, maybe a year or two older, or, you know, little older sister. But anyway, they're little ones. They're toddlers. And so they're one day they're playing with their toys, whatever it might be, and their little brother or maybe their little bit bigger brother or sister, they see one of the toys that they want to play with, and so they take it. Well, then the other one, they get angry and they reach over and they grab it back and they're pulling and they start hitting the other one and they're crying. And mama or daddy notices and they say, well, no, don't share. Share your toys. You have to share. And so mom and daddy, they start teaching their little children about sharing. And that's important because children need to grow up understanding that they need to not be selfish. And mom and daddy will even use that word, don't be selfish, share. You need to share. And so they're trying to teach that principle of not being selfish and sharing. Well, selfishness is the opposite of sharing, isn't it? Selfishness is the opposite of being considerate or considering the needs of other people. You just want what you want, and you don't want to give it up either. Well, selfish ambition is the phrase that is repeatedly used in the New Testament scriptures talking about selfishness. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come," now he's writing this to the church at Corinth, and he says, "I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish." So he's writing this, he's saying, I'm concerned that when I come to visit the congregation there, now Paul went on a number of missionary journeys, so he would travel from location to location and help establish new congregations, teach people the gospel of Christ, lead them to become Christians, and then he would move on to another location to do the same kind of thing. And then at times he would come back to some of those congregations he had helped establish, and he would teach them further, ground them in the truth and the fundamentals of Christianity, help them to grow in their knowledge of God's word and God's will for them as individual Christians and as being the Lord's church in that particular locality or area. And so he's writing this to the church at Corinth, and he had already been there. And so he's saying, you know, I'm concerned lest when I come, I'm not going to find you the way I'm hoping I'll find you. He's talking about their character as a congregation. And that I shall be found of by you such as you do not wish. Now he's really speaking from the perspective of a disciplinarian here to a great extent. But you say a disciplinarian, well, remember, he was a divinely appointed apostle of Jesus Christ. And so God was working through him to teach people the truth of God's word as to how to become Christians, and as Paul would help establish new congregations, how to be the church that God sent Jesus into this world to establish upon this earth. So he's saying, you know, I'm concerned lest when I come to visit you, to see you again, I'm not going to find you being what I really want you to be as the church, at least not completely. I'm afraid I'm going to find problems there. You're not going to be living up to the character of the Christian church that Jesus established on this earth that you should be living up to and exhibiting. And I'm concerned that you're going to find me such as you do not wish, because I'm going to have to come and discipline you as a church to get back in line and to be faithful and true to God's word. So I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. We might think of it, here's mom or daddy that come along, and let's say their children are older now. Maybe they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and one or two of them have been engaged in something that they should not have been engaged in, you know, doing something, you know, and we can think of all kinds of different things that we'd say, that's not right. They should not be doing that. I remember one time I was out way past the curfew that my parents had set for me, and I knew I was way past that time. So I'm walking down the sidewalk along the streets of Chicago where I grew up, and who meets me coming toward me but my dad? That was an anxious moment, let me tell you. He was out looking for me. I should have been home long before, but I had done wrong. I had broken the curfew, and so he was out looking for me. It would have been a whole lot better for me if I'd have just been there at home on time. Well, that's the kind of setting, but from a spiritual perspective, spiritual discipline, spiritual faithfulness, that Paul's writing this particular part of this letter to the church at Corinth. I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. I did not want to meet my dad come looking for me that night when I knew I had done wrong. He goes on in that verse and he says, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Now the church at Corinth had all kinds of problems. Read through the 1 Corinthians letter. You'll read about a whole host of problems. And here, when he writes the second letter, he's cautioning them that apparently he's hearing about some things that are still going on. And so he talks about contentions. He talked about that in the first letter. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Well, if you're having contentions, that's going to often produce wrath, anger, outbursts of wrath, and backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. And in the middle of that list is selfish ambitions. Some people, they want what they want, and they want to have a position of power or authority or prestige, or they want things done the way they want them to be done, whether that is necessarily the correct way or the best way or not. But it's their way, and they want it done that way. And there are people in the Lord in the church that way as well. So when you think about these different ungodly behaviors that he lays out here, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, so selfishness being one of those, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, you look at these and you kind of analyze them quickly and you say, they really kind of blend in with each other. They kind of go together to a great extent. A lot of these ungodly behaviors can be connected to each other. And certainly selfishness, selfish ambitions, wanting to have a position of prestige, that could be one of those that could contribute to most all of the rest of these. But again, all of these can be products of kind of an overriding problem. But right there in the middle is selfishness, selfish ambitions. We read in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19 and reading down through verse 21. Now, the Apostle Paul, in a number of his letters, would lay out a list, and he did this several times in different letters. He would lay out a list of ungodly behaviors and practices that he said, these are going to keep you out of heaven. Now, I think probably the longest one is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the longest of these lists. And all of these lists, when we read them, we can look in Ephesians and, Galatians and 1 Corinthians, but all of these lists, and we can also look in Romans chapter 1, but all of these lists, they're simply meant to be representative of the kinds of behavior that will keep a person out of heaven. They're not all-inclusive, but they're representative. And in this particular list, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, he concludes that with the general statement, and such like. Well, there Paul is letting us know, this is not the end of the list, as I could lay out these ungodly behaviors that are going to keep you out of heaven. But he said, and such like, any others that might be compared to these as being ungodly, sinful. Now, a whole lot of people, they want heaven, They just don't want to have to live the Christian life. Now, they may call themselves Christian. They may shout loud and long that they believe in God and they love Jesus and all of this, but they don't want to have to discipline themselves to live righteous lives, lives of faithful obedience before God, living by the teachings of His Word. They just want to be able to do what they want to do and spout off these, you know, platitudes. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I have such great faith. Oh, yes. In the next, you know, just maybe a 2 or 3 minutes later, they may be using the Lord's name in vain in some kind of cursing or profane way. They want heaven. They don't want the Christian life. So this particular text, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul begins by saying, now the works of the flesh, in other words, worldly living, ungodly living, unfaithfulness, sinfulness, if you want to just boil it down, you could even say wickedness, the works of the flesh are evident, obvious, in other words, which are adultery, fornication. Well, boy, that rules out a whole lot of people, don't they? Doesn't it? They want heaven, but they want to be able to live in a sexually immoral relationship with somebody. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I mean, you might think, Paul, weren't you using a lot of ink here when you were writing all of these? You put down a whole bunch here. Well, and then he says, selfish ambitions. So selfishness. Oh, but that's in the middle of the list. The list goes on. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So in other words, any other ungodly, sinful, wicked practice or lifestyle that might be connected in essence, in character, to all of these that he's already listed. So, and the like, or another translation I believe says, and such like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, selfishness being among them, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that last part, will not inherit the kingdom of God, ought to cause our eyes to open wide, maybe our head to jerk back a little bit, our ears to open up completely, because he says all of these kinds of practices, and remember, he didn't list all of them, he says, and the like, so there's a whole bunch more you can think of. He says these kinds of practices, these kinds of behaviors, a lifestyle that would be characterized by these kinds of behaviors, he says, going to keep you out of heaven. What? Going to keep you out of heaven? Yeah, that's what the Apostle Paul said. And remember now, this is not Paul's words. These are God's words. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we've emphasized this particular verse many times in our Search the Scriptures radio programs, our Bible studies together. Literally, what that means in the Greek is all Scripture is God-breathed. So you say, God-breathed. Okay, just let me boil it down. All Scripture is God's very word. That's what he's really saying there. So he's writing Scripture here, and so this is God's word. These kinds of behaviors, including selfishness, will keep you out of heaven. So if you're living, practicing these kinds of things, yeah, adultery, fornication, yeah, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, you can't control your temper, selfishness, envy, murders, drunkenness, and the like, they're going to keep you out of heaven. If these kinds of behaviors, if they are identified with your lifestyle, the way you live, then Paul says, you're not going to be in heaven. What's the alternative? Hell. That's the only other option. There are only two places of eternal reward. One is positive. That's heaven for the faithful, the dedicated, the obedient to God and Christ, living by God's word, his teachings, in faithful obedience on a consistent basis, the Bible being his guidebook through life. The other reward is negative. In fact, it's negative beyond our imagination, basically. And that's hell, eternal condemnation in hell. And we're not talking about annihilation, ceasing to exist. We're talking about eternal torment for all of eternity. Because those there have lived a life of disobedience, unfaithfulness to God. They've lived unrighteous lives, characterized for many of them by these various behaviors that he listed here in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. And selfishness is right in the middle of the list. We need to wake up. It's not okay to dabble in sin. It's not all right to be selfish. Selfishness is condemned here. Now, let's look at another one, Philippians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Now, he's talking about some preachers, some Christians were out there preaching the gospel of Christ, but from an impure ambition or motive. God is not just an action-blessing God. He is a motive-blessing God. And so Paul says, some of those out there, he was in jail when he wrote this. He was in prison. And he said, some of those, they're preaching the gospel from selfish ambition, not sincerely. And so selfish ambition, selfishness again. We've all seen reports of, read reports of, news about some televangelist, or maybe even not even a televangelist, but somebody who they want to gain a big following so that they can make a whole lot of money off the congregation. Selfish ambition. It's condemned over and over again in the scriptures. We're going to stop here. We'll go a little bit further next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us with your word to guide us in your truth and your will for our lives. Help us to study it, to learn it, and to take it to heart, and to live by those teachings. Help us to not be selfish, Father. And Father, please forgive us of our sins, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.